Hi, Susan. Thanks for taking some time during your busy touring schedule to share some conversation and music with Wisconsin listeners.
Thank you.
Well, Wisconsin Public Radio, and this show especially, Simply Folk, has a lot of rural listeners, and many of them like the Midwestern farm families that you capture so perfectly, as in your song, Barbed Wire Boys. So I have to ask, were you raised in a farming family?
I was, and my parents are still farming in eastern Iowa. We had a dairy and hog operation and beans and corn. And I think we had a few chickens for a while when I was really little. And yeah, my parents are still out there doing it, which is really wonderful. It's the same farm that I grew up on. And that probably sounds familiar to many of your listeners that have a sense of a place that they have known or knew for a long period of time in their life. It gives you a great deal of stability and maybe readies you for a life of all kinds of adventures. If you grew up in one place, you feel maybe secure to go see many, many other places.
And perhaps prepares you for a life of some hard work, too.
Nothing's as hard as that was. I mean, farming is, you're up, especially dairy operations. I mean, you're up early and you don't take a lot of vacations. The dairy is really, really hard.
It is tough. How did your family respond to your agnostic gospel album, Gospel Truth?
I remember my mother saying something like, "Well, honey, well, if this is what you have to say, then I guess you have to say it." Feeling like, well, you know, everybody has a different point of view. You go ahead, honey. But it's been interesting to take that project all around the country. It seems to speak most powerfully to people that grew up in one church tradition or another and are trying to find a way to keep the good of that in their adult lives, but maybe leave some of it that was not so helpful and not so inclusive behind them.
It seemed to resonate with so many people, and it won a lot of awards. Top Folk Album of the Year from NPR, Folk Alley. Mm-hmm. You know that one. Well, speaking of CDs, your new one, Kicking the Beehive, feels like new musical ground in some ways, but a return to your roots in others. What was the impetus for the CD?
I'd never spent much time in the South, and I'd never been down Highway 61 from Memphis down to Clarksdale, Mississippi, down to New Orleans, and it was a great trip for me. I went by myself. I just had a notebook and a pen and my guitar in the trunk, and drove the 2-lane highway.
Did you go down the sort of along the Mississippi there?
I did exactly that. It's exactly right. And for those of your listeners who grew up near the Mississippi, it's the same river, just bigger, wider, but the land along the river, as it is in many parts of the state of Iowa, anyway, there's flat black soil that is really, really rich, and it felt to me familiar in that way. Maybe because I have an agricultural background, that felt familiar to me. But much of Mississippi looks unchanged, like telephone poles and fields and. So it was also a time trip back to the 20s and 30s and 40s and when most of the great songs of the American blues tradition were written.
Did it inspire you to write a lot? Did you write most of the songs for the CD during that trip?
I did, and I listened to a lot of music while I was down there. It's become a habit of mine to go someplace where I want to hear the music and listen to the music as I'm driving and then go hear as much live music as I can. I took a trip to Brazil some time ago and did the same thing. I'd like to go to South Africa and do that, listen to music and travel, but this was something anybody can do, is fly on down to Memphis or fly down to Nashville and just start driving down south, and it makes the music become real to hear Robert Johnson or to hear Smithsonian field recordings that Alan Lomax made in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. It makes America real to you. It makes the blues real to you. This piece of history comes alive, And I think you realize that much of it may have more power for you now than you might have thought. You might have thought it was a piece of history that doesn't matter so much today. But once you go down and see for yourself firsthand, it all becomes very vivid.
It's living music.
It is living music. And I'd recommend this trip to anybody who's a fan of music, fan of the blues. I mean, you must see it. Clarksdale's really something. There's this club called Ground Zero, which the actor Morgan Freeman built there by the railroad tracks, and it's this big shack that has blues in it, and they have music every night of the week. There's a place called the Shack Up Inn that is these sharecropper shacks you can rent out. They're tiny little shacks
Wow.
with tiny little beds, and it's just like a trip back into the 30s. And there were all these Swedish blues bands from Finland, guys from Italy that knew all of everything Bob Dylan ever wrote. They play harmonica. They sing Bob Dylan lyrics with an Italian accent. It was just like, it's like people around the world treasure that tradition.
Yeah.
And we as Americans underappreciate what we have right down the road there.
It sounds like you've incorporated some of that feel into this new CD. There are a number of songs that really, that I connected with emotionally. One of those was My Different Son, which has a beautiful kind of bluesy feel to it, but it sounds like it might have a story behind it. What's the story with that tune?
Mm-hmm. There's a little guy I know who has some challenges in life, and I think many people now know kids who I guess are what they call special needs, and to watch him and to know him and to see his parents try to find a way for him in the world, a place for him in the world, is really It's gripping and moving, and I wanted to write a song from a mother's point of view, and maybe this is a blues song from a woman's point of view. There weren't quite enough of those, I don't think, maybe because women didn't get to say everything they had to say in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, but if women wrote the blues, women would write about their children, and maybe this song is a part of maybe an update of a tradition in the blues.
Let's give it a listen.
My little boy plays all alone, lives in a world that's all his own. My different son, my different son. He's not the same as everyone. He's my different son. My little boy doesn't quite fit in. Schools and rules were never made for him. My different son. My different son. Won't have anybody making fun of my different son.
Susan, such a powerful song. It really, I've been listening to it over and over, and it brings a, kind of just chokes me up every time.
It's one of those songs that you sing in a show and people want to ask you about it afterwards. They want to come up and talk to you about their experience with somebody in their life, and it makes you feel like maybe you're doing your job out here, as if you're talking about something that people find it difficult to talk about in person.
And I know a number of children like this, autistic, ADHD, or children that you look at that look normal and people assume will be normal, and they're not. They're challenged, but they're full of love and full of hope, and that's a song that resonates.
Well, something interesting I saw the other day. I saw the new South Park musical on Broadway called Book of Mormon.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Oh my God! I mean, it's offensive, outrageous, and hilarious. But one of the lead characters is a kid you would say is on the spectrum. And he's great and lovable and a hero. He's the hero of the whole show. So it's interesting to see how our understanding of these kids is going to change as they get older and make their way in the world. We're going to find ways that they're especially talented and have a new way of seeing the world around us.
And it helps us see the world differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one that I responded to really emotionally was Sleeping on a Train. Mm-hmm. What was the inspiration for that song?
Well, I live in Chicago, and I take the train from here to there, often to and from O'Hare. And O'Hare is the Blue Line. And the Blue Line has more than your typical share of folks who are homeless spending time on the train. And I wondered why. And I talked with my friend Tony. I have a couple friends, guys downtown, who sit outside the big office buildings. And, you know, they're panhandling, basically. And over time, you develop a relationship with them. And some of them, you know, you just see them every day, and you wind up having a chat with them. You bring them a sandwich. You give them a dollar. You buy them a cup of coffee. How you doing today? Where you been? Where were you? How you traveling? How are your shows going? This and that. And Tony explained to me that the Blue Line is the longest line in the Chicago metro system. And so if you're looking to sleep, you want the longest train line you can get, because at the end of the line, they come through the train and kick you out and wake you up.
So you can be warm and safe and catch a few Z's?
Right, for about an hour and a half, right. That's why a lot of the homeless people who are looking for a roof over their heads for the night, especially in the winter, which in Chicago, as in much of Wisconsin, is quite brutally cold, you're looking for $2.25 that buys you a roof over your head for the night, and there you are on the Blue Line.
Sleeping on a Train by our guest Susan Werner.
Sleeping on a train, sleeping on a train, staying out of the cold and the pouring rain. Well, I get my rest 1 hour at a time till they wake me up at the end of the line. Sleeping on a train. You're afraid of me, well, I'm afraid of you. What the hell do you think I'm gonna do? I make one wrong move and they call the heat, and the cops will throw me back out on the street. I'm just sleeping on a train. And the nights are awful cold, the nights are awful long, and it's safer in here where the lights stay on. Safer in here than a shelter bed, somebody there liable to crack your head. That's why I'm sleeping on a train.
We're talking with Susan Werner and listening to some of the excerpts from her new CD, which is called Kicking the Beehive. This is Sleeping on a Train. Susan, Kicking the Beehive, that's quite a visual image, as many of your songs have. Where did that come from?
So my road manager, her father, I must have taken one of these Dale Carnegie sales and courses in the 30s or 40s or something, and Dale Carnegie used to say, if you want to gather honey, don't kick over the beehive. So she will say to me sometimes, she'll say, why can't you just be happy with things the way they are? What's the matter with you? Why do you keep kicking the beehive? And she's been working for me for 19 years, and over time some of her little quotable quotes will show up in a song, and this is one of those. And the song is really a sort of rallying cry or an anthem for troublemakers and instigators everywhere. And I sing this song, and people come up afterwards, they'll say, oh, that I was elbowing my husband the whole time during the show, because that is my husband to a T. Some people are just born grenade throwers, stink bomb throwers. And so this song is for all of us and all of them.
You're such a riveting performer live. I've seen you in Chicago, and you're known as a great person to go see live. I imagine this song in particular is really fun to play for a live audience.
Oh, we have fun. I have fun every night, and I'll have fun at the upcoming show there in Wisconsin. I'll have Trina Hamlin with me, who is
a harmonica player.
Oh, she's fabulous. She's a fabulous harmonica player. She sings background vocals. She's a great songwriter in her own right, and now she's playing kick drum and snare and cymbal. I mean, she's basically playing the drum kit and the harmonica and a rack at the same time.
Wow.
So the whole thing has a great rhythmic propulsion to it, too. I mean, the two songs that you played are our ballads and more thoughtful material. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we fairly tear it up there live.
I wouldn't be surprised. You're going to be in Madison at the Brink Lounge this coming Friday, April 1st.
Yep.
And you said that's touring with Trina with the harmonica and percussion.
Yeah, and it's a benefit for Habitat for Humanity. So come on out, everybody.
Yeah, great. Well, we'll listen to the last tune, which is the title tune of the CD, Kicking the Beehive. My guest has been Susan Werner with this brand new CD playing in Wisconsin this Friday. Susan, thanks for spending some time with me on Simply Folk from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Stephanie, thank you.
I keep kicking the beehive just to feel alive again. I keep bursting bubbles, stirring up trouble where I can. Stirring up trouble where I can.